Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll read the whole of that chapter. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the body of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. 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 Get to concentrate on verses 5 and 6 this morning. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Back at the beginning of the year, preached on the I wills from Psalm 179. And after that, I was thinking about the I wills that the Lord Jesus Christ says throughout the Gospels. And then you then move on to the Old Testament, where you read about the Lord saying, I will. And I wasn't quite sure how to preach from the I wills that Christ says in the Gospels, short of embarking on a series. But then I realised that we have a distillation of the I wills here in Hebrews, where we read, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And I do like a distillation of truth. It's simple and easy to remember. Whatever difficulty, we can remember that and apply it to the situations that we find ourselves. But as we know, Paul, in this epistle to the Hebrews, is showing to the Hebrews and also to us that Christ fulfills all the types and the shadows of the Old Testament. How the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed that final sacrifice. He's that great high priest. He has done all things necessary for the salvation of the believers. So we know that word "better" occurs several times throughout the book of Hebrews, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he is better than all that has gone on before. And then Paul, coming to the close of his book, gives us this chapter, and it's as if he's got so much to say, but he realizes time is short, and so he's trying to summarize things, the way that we should live, what effect this doctrine should have upon us, on us as Christians. And so he says in verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." Conversation meaning behavior, or perhaps we might say lifestyle. And that is what the Word of God should do. It should influence our conversation, our speech, our lifestyle, how we live. It's how we know that the Word of God has spoken to us, if our life is changed, if we're becoming more sanctified, seeking to live a more holy and righteous life. And conversation, we use the word mainly about speech. But remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 15. He says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and defileth the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." And in Luke, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." And Paul, writing to Ephesians, he says, "Only let your conversation be it is becometh the gospel of Christ." And that's the effect that we want the word of God to have on us. That is how we testify that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have taken the heed of the gospel, that our conversation, our lifestyle is changed. And so God's word should affect and change our life. Psalm 119, those I wills, the psalmist was saying how he will allow the word of God to change his life, how he had those desires, that resolutions. But I know the weakness of myself, that we are so good at saying I will and not fulfilling it. Sometimes we're unable to do it because we don't know what tomorrow brings. Sometimes we just forget. But the Lord never forgets. Those I wills that Christ made throughout the Gospels, the I wills of the Lord throughout the Old Testament, he never forgets. He does fulfill them. He will fulfill them. And he is being fulfilled. We can be assured of that. And that's why we take heed to his word. And that's why we can take comfort in these words, because we know that the Lord will accomplish it. Just a few of the I wills from Christ. In Matthew 8, he says to the leper, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleaned. In Matthew 15, at the feeding of the 4,000, "I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." These miracles, example of Christ doing physical things, but it's a reminder of that great spiritual work, that his I wills are worked out spiritually as well. a reminder that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are yea and amen, as he says. But let your communications be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. What the Lord has spoken, he will perform. He will work out in his appointed way. And so, as I said, the manifestations of those I wills in physical things are just a demonstration of Christ's power, of his power working out in the lives as individuals. We also see Christ's knowledge. He is the one that knows the beginning from the end. As he said to the feeding of the 5,000, I will not send them away fasting. He knew they were hungry. If he sent them away hungry, they would probably faint on their journeys home. So the Lord has that perfect knowledge of us. And finally, Christ's authority. Christ's authority over disease. Christ's authority over men. He was able to still the waves. Christ's authority over nature. And the devils took heed to his word. And so we have that confidence that what the Lord has said, what Christ has said, he will perform. Nothing will stop or prevent those I wills that the Lord says. And we can apply them to ourselves. We can rest in them. We can take comfort in them. And so Christ fulfills all that he says. And then when you turn back to the Old Testament, again we can see the way the Lord God has says, I will, and everything is worked out. Throughout the Old Testament, though, we see that so often the I will depended on the obedience of the children of Israel. And so often the children of Israel were disobedient, and so God did not perform that I will. Read the book of Judges for an indication of this. And just in Judges 10 we read, yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. And the Old Testament demonstrates to us that the people of God had a responsibility to the Lord. And if they kept the Lord's commandments, if they did as the Lord obeyed, he would be with them. But the Old Testament also shows to us that we're incapable of being consistent, of consistently serving the Lord God. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, because he has fully fulfilled God's will. He kept the law to the last jot of tittle. And so that's why we are able to rest upon our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that our salvation is secure because he has fulfilled God's law. He is the one that has redeemed us. And therefore we can take heed and take comfort from these words that he says. For he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's a quote from the Old Testament. There's at least five times where very similar words are used. In Genesis chapter 28, we read the Lord speaking to Jacob, and behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places while thou goest, and I will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. Given to Jacob. And we know about Jacob, the man that went through various trials in his life, was devious at other times. He ends up working for Laban. He ends up returning to his brother Esau and being reconciled. He loses Joseph for a season, who's sent down to Egypt. But the Lord fulfilled that promise to Jacob. He never left or forsook Jacob. And then in Deuteronomy we read, and Moses is speaking these words, but he says to the congregation of Israel, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And then, of course, those words are repeated in Joshua verses 1 to 7, that the Lord would not forsake or leave Joshua. The verses spoken by Moses, spoken to the congregation, the promises to that nation of Israel, and the promise applies to the church that he will not leave or forsake his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But then when the Lord speaks to Joshua those words, a reminder too for ministers of God's word that he will be with them. For ministers do pass through difficult times. As we see with Joshua, the various trials and difficulties he's passed through. But because the Lord was with him, he was able to do the work that the Lord did. The Lord didn't leave or forsake him. The Lord delivered it as well. And so as a church, we can take comfort from this promise. And as individuals as well, apply it to ourselves. Remind ourselves of it in times of difficulties and trials. And again, David, speaking to Solomon, he says to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou finished all the work for the service of the Lord." Solomon, a complex character, but the Lord was with him. The Lord didn't forsake him. He left his Lord for a season, but he did accomplish that work of building the temple. The Lord was with him, and the Lord will not leave us or forsake us. He will indeed eventually deliver us to that heavenly Jerusalem. And then the last reference is from Isaiah. In Isaiah 41 we read, "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God, will not forsake them." A verse for all of us, poor and needy. We're passing through this barren land, this wilderness. We're to seek after water, seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have that promise that the Lord will hear, will not forsake us. And so as we can see, this promise applies to all men, applies to the church, applies to each one of us. And we need to listen to those words, to take heed. And so it reinforces the I wills, that the Lord will never forsake his people. Whatever the situation is in life, we can all lay claim to those promises. We can all hear those promises, take heed to what the Lord has said. To be forsaken is a very serious condition. We're told frequently that loneliness is a big problem in the nation at the moment. That sense of no one to help, of no one to care, no one that you can cry to for help. We might enjoy a bit of peace and quiet for a time, but not to have the family around us or the church, not knowing that if we were lonely, perhaps feeling forsaken at times, going through a difficult time, that we couldn't call upon someone to come and help, whatever the situation. We're in that blessed position that we do have family close by. We have the church that we can call on. But let us never forget that we also have the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can call upon. Never to be forsaken, because the Lord is with us, because the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. Forsaken is a terrible situation. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. You can hear the cry, the despair. "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That is the terror of being forsaken. The terror of being forsaken by God. And there is a time when it appears that perhaps we are forsaken, and it's at the close of life. So often people are very ill, the doctors are treating them, the family's there, and then there comes a time when the doctor says, I don't think we can do any more. We can't do any more medical treatments. And it's time when people can feel forsaken. But for those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not forsaken. Those that don't, truly they will know the terrors of death to be forsaken. And I take comfort of Stephen. If you remember when Stephen was stoned to death, we read this in Acts chapter 7, verse 54 and 55. When they heard these things, they were cut to the teeth, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand. Stephen, forsaken by the world wanting to stone him, but he's able to look into heaven and see the glory of Christ. Christ had gone before him. Christ had been with him throughout his life, but even at death, the Lord Jesus Christ was with him. And so we can take comfort that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. He has gone before to prepare a place to greet us and to meet us when it is our time to go to be with the Lord. And so we have these promises in Hebrews, this summary. But we were reminded on Thursday night when our brother preached, seek the Lord. And that is what we're to do continually. We're to seek the Lord, in these promises. And if we do, he has promised never to forsake us or leave us. As the writer of Proverbs reminds us, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, to never forsake us or leave us. As I said, to be left and forsaken, a hopeless situation in this life, very hopeless for the unbeliever, but for the believer, we know that the Lord is with us. The Lord will keep us. We're to believe his word, to know the Lord, and it is to affect our lives in so many ways. As I've just said, the first part of verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Covetousness, the problem of every age, certainly the problem with this land at the moment. We're warned against it, aren't we, in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, or anything that is thy neighbour's. Covetousness, as this verse implies, leads to being discontentment, not being satisfied with what we have, as we read, and be content with such things as ye have. And so our lifestyle is to be without covetousness. And as Paul could say, that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, that with to be content. To be content, not to be covetous. How do we overcome that? Well, the second part of this verse, he says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it might sound a bit simplistic, but this is where we have to strive to apply it. That if we know the Lord, if we're with the Lord, if we're seeking the Lord, if we're staying as close as we can to the Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ, then all the pomp, the wealth, or whatever it is that the world can offer is insignificant. We don't want it. The one thing we want is to know the Lord's help, to know the Lord's presence, to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything else that this world can offer are just baubles. To know the Lord will, to know that the Lord is with us. As I said, it is the cure for being covetous. And if we know the Lord, we will be content with whatever situation we have, because we know that the Lord is the one that is in control, the one that is working out his purposes. He is the Lord, the one that has given us food and clothing and raiment, and therefore we can be content. And the world will fail, but the Lord will not fail. He will never leave or forsake us. As I said, perhaps easy to say, in fact very easy to say, but harder to work out in our life. But if we seek the Lord, then we will. And men may appear to have lots of friends and not be forsaken, but the one thing that you can be sure of, that wealthy people that are covetous after their money have covetous friends. And the one thing you can be sure of, that covetous friends will leave very quickly when riches cease. Again, perhaps a bit of a summary of the psalmist again in Psalm 118. It is better to trust in the Lord to put confidence than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. We're to trust the Lord, and then we will be able to have that conversation that is without covetousness. We'll be able to be content. Our security is with the Lord, and solely with the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 5, words of great comfort to each one of us, to all of us. In John 10, and reading from verse 22, and we read, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then there came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou makest it doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow them. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which hath given them, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That is our confidence, our assurance, that we have been called by the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're in his hands, we're in God's hands. Nothing can pluck us out. And that's why we can never be left or forsaken, because we're in God's hand. Again, as a very young Christian, I found great assurance hearing of someone talking about this verse, because I don't know about you, you can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and how you're assured of your faith and you have that confidence. There's the cynic that says, ah, but you could be lost or what have you. And this girl gave a very simpler answer to say, I'll never be lost because I'm in God's hands. I'm one of his fingers. And that's our security, that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us. We're in his hands, and therefore he'll never leave us or forsake us. Of course, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so if you're not in the hands of the Lord, you need to seek him while he may be found, because all men have fallen and are falling and will fall into the hands of the living God. And it is a fearful thing unless you've fallen into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know, and we know the truth of God's word, we can take heed to those words, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We won't need to be covetous. We won't need anything else. We can learn to be content with our lives. And believing this truth and acting upon this truth and working with this truth, we can say, as verse 6 says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Again, summarized for us perhaps in that hymn, Be gone, unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform with Christ in the vessel, I may smile at the storm. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. And so tomorrow, next week, next month, or whatever, if we know that the Lord is near, that he will not forsake us, we can say, the Lord is my helper, and we need not fear. The Lord is my help, my helper, and the greatest help that we all need is to know that Christ is the one that has borne our iniquities, that has borne our sins. He is the one that has redeemed us from all our sins. He is our helper, and no one else can help us with that. Only the Lord can help us. And so the Lord is my helper, or as the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? He helps the sheep. He protects the sheep. He feeds the sheep. He leads the sheep to new pasture. He cares for the sick sheep. He protects them and stays close to them. And so we have these promises, and therefore we can say, we will not fear what man shall do unto me, because the Lord is greater. The Lord has promised never to leave us or forsake us. For whatever the circumstances, we can take heed to those promises and remember them. And we will close with that hymn. And the last line of that hymn is a paraphrase of what we've been speaking about. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. The souls though all hell should endeavour to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Apparently in the Greek, verse 5 has lots of negatives. And in the language, English language, of course, the double negative cancels out a negative. And not understanding Greek properly, but the emphasis is that the Lord will never, no never, no never leave his people. And so, whatever circumstances we encounter, we can take heed to those words that the Lord will not leave us, will not fail us. Whatever goes on, the Lord knows the beginning from the end. He has that power to deliver. He has that goodness and that loving kindness upon each of us, and the grace that is manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen.